The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast. We're bringing on comedian guests to tell true, meaty stories from their lives. And then what do we do, Jake?
Well, we use those stories as inspiration for long-form, improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. If you want to support the show, you love the show and you want to support it, go to patreon.com/TheMeatImprov and you can get access to our bonus episode called The Potatoes, where Jake and I talk shop, talk about things we're watching or thinking about or teaching as it relates to comedy and improv. And we also have a Discord channel where you can talk to other meatheads. And compliment Jake and I, most importantly. that's what I'd like it to be for. Okay, let's get into our show. Today we have two very special guests. Both of them play on the meat improv today, but we improv regularly. I'm going to introduce them. Mai Darman. Mai Darman.
Yeah.
Hi, Mai. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good. Thank you.
Hi, Mai.
Hi, Jake.
Welcome aboard the meat train.
Thank you for having me.
Let's introduce our second guest, Ivan No.
Hey.
What's up, Ivan?
Hello, Ivan.
Thanks.
You've been goofing around here for a while, so these were false introductions.
Sorry.
We've been talking, but we have to keep up the facade for the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's Hollywood.
Yeah, they'd say we all just logged on immediately and then hit record.
Yeah. Just like the Tonight Show or anything else, the guest walks in, no makeup, comes as they are, no preparation.
They're chased on stage.
this should be. Barring anything weird, it might not be, but this should be our first episode of 2021. Mm-hmm. So we're going to chit chat a little here up top. I don't know what to expect. I feel like every week is just like a new horror could abound, but I mean, it has to be a little better, right?
Okay, we're doing this. We're predicting. All right, we're predicting what's coming.
Okay.
We don't know. I might be dead.
You might be dead as this is out.
Dead as this is out. Have you ever considered that?
I have not ever considered that.
Okay, I want to take that back. I don't want to be dead when this is out. I think I cursed myself.
Jesus.
I won't be. By me saying that means I'll be the most likely. Yeah, we could all be dead. This might be a relic that some archaeologists they dusted off an iPad and then this is downloaded on it.
Guys,
some poor snap of an intern who's tasked with listening to the last podcasts that were put out.
This episode of The Meat is like The Ring, and if you hear it, you're cursed. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that should be our introduction. You have to get someone else to listen to this, or you will be cursed.
I'm hoping this will be like a Rosetta Stone type of situation where they'll be able to like translate our old language through this podcast. You know what I mean?
They'll be like, Dr. Boner was really important back in 2020.
Yeah. Calling the shot. Dr. Boner is going to be in the set.
That's not even really a gamble. All right. But any, I mean, I hope to be able to get the vaccine. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Can you take it? Yeah, despite the cautionary 5-minute voice note from my aunt that I just got, I would like to take it.
Is it a voicemail or a voice note?
WhatsApp voice note. They're coming from a different continent. And they are really alarmist and scary.
So before I have my knee-jerk reaction of making fun of your aunt, is your aunt like a nurse or anything like that? Or?
No, absolutely not. I would say I would call her like a hippie or like maybe more of a yuppie in the
Middle East. So she's like a hippie, but then she's gotten into business and supports capitalism. Is that how she a yuppie?
She's a hippie in her. Yeah, exactly. She's a yuppie, but
yuppie is a thing.
But she does graphic design, so she's a yuppie. That's kind of
okay.
And she's worried about the vaccine.
Yeah. She thinks I am being like brainwashed and not. She framed the voice note in like a very complimentary way by kind of starting it by being like, you're a very smart girl and you should be using your brain.
Compliment sandwich.
Did you send her one that's like, the vaccine rules?
Okay, I admit I did. I admit I started this voice note war. She sent me a video. I think it was who is the Kennedy who is sort of disgraced because he's like an anti-vaxxer?
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah. And she sent me like a video of his. And then I was like, no, thank you. I had to send her a voice note because I can't type in Hebrew fast enough. So I was like, let me just rattle this off in a voice note. And then she sent a 5-minute one back. And then I was like, I shouldn't have responded like that.
What's the worry?
The worry is that we're being like monitored. I don't know. Actually, I think the worry is so amorphous, and that's what every conspiracy theory like adapts itself right to any logic you present. So like at first it sounds like she's worried about government overstepping boundaries and being monitored. And then she's concerned about having to take the vaccine and then still having to quarantine, which to me sounds logical in terms of like how vaccines work and also like the rate of the distribution and stuff. I don't know. Every time, everything you say, there's kind of like a new concern. So
yeah,
I don't think you're going to get a satisfying answer.
did you get polio?
did I personally get
I mean, that'd be my question back to her. Just like,
oh right, yeah, that's the thing, she is vaccinated and she has vaccinated her kids too, so I'm like confused about this. I think this pertains more to her general like understanding that COVID is like just a little virus and people die all the time. People die all the time, and like what about cancer? Was big on the voice note. So
you can't cough cancer into your face.
Right.
How do you? God.
Yeah, bummer. I shouldn't have told the story. No. I knew it was a bummer.
It's not. I'm cringing because I have the people in my family too, and friends of mine and stuff like. I was about, before you even said that, I was about to bring up like, we're all looking forward to the vaccine. And I was like, oh, I actually just talked to someone who like, he's a friend of mine. He's fine with it. But he was asking, you know, like, cause he has enough people in his life that are like, about it. We all do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows somebody that's like being a fucking horse's ass about this whole situation.
My aunt, she's currently at Disney World right now.
that open?
That's open, baby.
It is?
Florida's firing on all cylinders.
Oh, yeah. She posted.
Wait, I had no idea Disney World was open.
Yeah.
Disney World's open.
I'm sorry. That's honestly really scary.
I know.
Get her out of there.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
She was like, nothing can stand between me and these lines. I got
it. Yeah.
And she's at Epcot too, like the lamest place at Disney World.
What?
Hey, yeah. Is Epcot the global one?
Yeah. It's the global and the future. I wonder if they've adjusted for the future just being a black hole. Has Epcot adjusted? And that's my prediction. Black hole, baby.
What is she an annual pass holder, or why the urgency to go to Walt Disney World?
Well, she is an annual pass holder at Disneyland. But she's like, I gotta get my Disney in, baby.
Wait, did she not even live in Florida? Did she go to Florida?
Oh, yeah, she flew out to Florida. My bad. I forgot to mention that part.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Nah, man. Do I come off as like a Florida kind of guy? That's the part that's surprising me. Nah, man. She's
He lives here?
She lives in, I'm not going to say it. I was going to give her address. She lives in the LA County area.
Social. And got on a plane.
Got on a plane with my cousin and.
Oh, man. Good Dude, Lord. I'm sorry. That's. And I mean, and we're talking to an annual pass holder, of course, Ivan.
Wow. Way to put me on blast. Yeah. I love Disneyland. I do have an annual pass.
Hey, you're fighting the good fight for the rest of us.
Yeah. This is a very important question. Is your cousin and your aunt, or whoever this is, did you say aunt? Did I just make that up?
No.
Okay. Are there any kids on this trip?
No.
That is.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad. It was bad already. No, but if you have like an 8-year-old.
Nope. These are full-grown people. It's my cousin, my aunt, and they're and a family friend.
Good Lord.
Whoa.
Yeah, you really can't stop anybody. Like we talked about this a little bit on a previous episode where a guest, it was Carl Tart, was like kind of bemoaning not people not trying to tell other people what to do. And I agree with that to some degree. Like, mm-hmm. If you're a doctor or a nurse and you're like, please stay home, for God's sake, like, of course I'm for that. But people that get it, you not only is it like in a way it's hard to tell people what to do, it's kind of pointless. Mm-hmm. If I call my uncle right now and to give him the what for about like being careful about Christmas or whatever, he's just going to get pissed at me. It's not going to change anything he does. He's just going to do what he wants to do anyways. And then I'm just creating a big fight in the family. And that's where I've landed with this shit is just like,
mm-hmm. It's personal immediately somehow.
Yeah. Like you can't like my, so much of my therapy is just like, well, don't talk to your parents about that then. Don't talk to your family about politics or the things you hold most near and dear to your heart, because it will only result in a fight or disappointment. Mm-hmm. So therefore you don't talk to them about stuff that is like, Jesus, wake up, try to be cool about this.
Yeah. No, I do it. You go in there and you yell, you fucking scream. I do that every day.
Really?
Oh yeah, I've been screaming fights with my dad.
About like politics and stuff?
Oh yes. This election was rough and I, it does get like so emotional so fast. And I think I am of the variety that the moment I start like a normal conversation with my dad, I am on the verge of tears. So it's like, and I don't know why it just happens like immediately. And I am definitely like very with my parents. I mean, I totally get this. I get the need to confront your loved ones, specifically the people who like have to forgive you, basically. Your friends, I get maybe that's like a more delicate space or something, but with parents, I'm like, no, yell at your parents and fucking like challenge them and say the things that need to be said and then cry in the middle of your argument. You can't keep it together. No, I'm kidding. It's actually like a really bad method. My family is like, things have been very tense. It's post-election's been a huge relief. We don't have to talk about it as
much. Well, I mean, I've done what you've said too, minus the crying, because I'm pushed the emotions. I pushed them down.
Okay, braggy.
I don't feel anything. But anyway, what did you say, anything, Ivan? I'm just curious. I mean, you're talking shit on a podcast, so if they hear this, they'll find out.
As I was saying, I'm like, oh God, I hope no one in my family listens.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, luckily my family doesn't speak English, so we're chill.
Unfortunately, my family does. But, I did not tell her anything about it. I didn't like the post on Facebook.
It's war.
Yeah. Damn. And I think that's resounding. The closest I got was like, I talked to my mom and I'm like, are you scared? Cause my mom works with my aunt and my cousin.
That's
the difference in this one. Like, politics is one thing, and then the coronavirus is like, they're fucking with your mom.
Yeah. But my mom is like, no, they're supposed to be like, they're really safe out there. They're really on them about like keeping the masks on. And I'm like, did they have to be told to keep the mask on?
Who's on them?
Mickey Mouse, I assume.
Disney police.
I wonder if Mickey's wearing a mask. I mean, besides the actual mask, but like, you're kind of blowing the illusion.
The actor under Mickey is wearing the mask.
No. That too. Mm-hmm. I assume the Mickey head is the mask for the actor, but I mean a symbolic mask on Mickey.
Yeah.
To be like, we should be all wearing masks here. Look, even Mickey's wearing it.
Well, yeah. Apparently they were digitally adding face masks to photos of attraction riders.
Whoa.
Okay, that's bad.
That's wild.
Florida is really like, who could give a shit? Like,
well, so is Disney, apparently.
Yeah.
Do you think at like 7 p.m. or whatever at a parade, they like bang pots and pans for the workers or whatever?
No.
But I don't understand how they can so easily differentiate, like, okay, LA Disney is one thing, but Florida Disney, all bets are off here.
it's got to be the governor, right?
Yeah.
Because DeSantis or whatever is like, he's the one that sent in like police officers to go after that scientist last week. Remember the one who is like tracking COVID
and to bring them to Disney.
Come on, you got a family.
Come on.
At least go
to Universal Studios, Florida. You gotta check out Harry Potter Land.
Is there any part of it that's like, there's no lines? You know, we said like...
Yeah, what's the upside?
Like, no one's there right now, so like, now, never been a better time?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know. Dude. Disney heads are... They're fanatics. I bet it's packed.
Hey, jeez. Sorry, I know you're out here mowing your lawn, and I'm sure you heard about the terrorist attack yesterday. Yeah, you must have.
Yeah.
It was crazy, right?
Yeah.
They blew up Mount Rushmore.
Sons of bitches.
Knocked down the Washington Monument. It's crazy.
It came right crazy. After our forefathers.
Everyone's pretty shaken up right now.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it'd be a perfect time if we wanted, be a perfect time to go to Legoland. I mean, no one's there today.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, they say that if you don't go on with your life, the tourists win. Right?
And you want to go to Legoland?
Yeah, I got some bus tickets right here. We can take the
bus. I see that. Why would we take the goddamn bus to Legoland?
Well, because it's across a few state lines. I don't want to fly in a plane right now. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to drive in a car because I want
to. I don't know where to start with you, honestly. I don't know where to start.
Well, you can start by saying, yeah, sounds great, Terry.
No, I don't think so, Terry. Legoland is a children's amusement park to start. Okay. It's a
good point.
You and I can't even ride together in the rides. We have to ride alone because they only fit an adult and a kid in each little car.
Hey,
Jake has not stopped mowing.
turn it down.
I'm mowing a flag into my lawn. Okay.
That's, I don't know. Is that an honor? I thought you were mowing a physical flag. I get it.
No.
You're doing the pattern of the flag.
Yeah. I'm skipping every other. I got 13 stripes and I'm going to get down on my hands and knees and trim little stars in the right, corner. That's
very cute. You'd have all year to do that. I'm sure they're going to celebrate 12/14 or remember 12/14 as long as we live. But what you're saying before about the kids, Legoland is for kids.
Yeah,
exactly. And now we won't be weird going there because there's not going to be any families. There's going to be nobody.
Didn't you go last week?
Hey, shut up. I did go last week. Yeah.
You just got a Legoland fix in.
It's so good, dude. It is so fun. Dude, it's so fun, man. And right now it's December. So like, it's all Christmassy over there.
Hey, neighbors.
Hey.
Sorry, I just wanted to come out here because it sounded like someone was like really excited and like cheering, maybe, and like,
oh, this
is maybe not the time.
Thank you.
I don't know if you heard. There's.
Thank you.
We heard.
Yeah. Yeah, and also. Universal Studios tickets are sold out. So,
what?
Yeah, I thought they would be half off right now.
Wait,
slash the prices, but no.
They're sold out in advance. They're not. That makes sense. Now I'm worried. So wait,
what are you?
No, I mean like they've sold out today, as of the breaking of the news. As soon as I heard the news, I was first devastated, and then I thought to check Universal Studios.
Don't you work at a theme park?
Okay, what are you saying?
You have time off because it's a national emergency, and you're trying to go across many state lines, I assume via bus.
How did you know?
Because this dingbat is flashing bus tickets around going to Legoland.
Okay. Sounds like you have an extra.
Now, don't go with him.
Because you're coming, right?
I'm not coming to Legoland.
Oh, come on. Well,
Okay, come on.
We couldn't. Hold on. I'm going to check on my phone. It's sold out.
I know.
These bus tickets are only good for today. What the hell am I going to do in Anaheim?
It's devastating. I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe this happened. I can't believe that the tickets sold out.
We see.
That's what you can't believe.
Yeah.
We see the bus to Legoland roll up and it's like covered in Legoland American flags. Hey, what's up?
who you're saluting.
What are you doing? Stop saluting that bus.
It's a Legoland bus.
We're going to Legoland. Is Legoland. It's a great Legoland to Legoland.
Legoland.
Terry, you're not better than this. Sing along.
I'm not singing along.
I'm Terry.
Wait, fuck.
We're a couple of Terrys, but I thought you were talking to me.
Two Terrys on this trellis.
Two Terrys can be friends. That's happened before. Ever heard of Monty Python?
Yes, I have. And I am friends with him. I'm not going to Legoland. And Ivan, didn't you start up a competing Connects amusement park?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, during these times, like, it's awful. I lost a son in these attacks.
Jesus
Christ. Oh, my God.
But we got to be united like a Lego.
I don't like it.
Wait. You lost a son in the 1214 attacks?
Yeah, I lost a son in 1214. Never forget.
That might get us to the top of... That might be good enough to get us to the front of some of these lines.
Okay, no. That's where I draw the line. Honestly, I draw the line too.
All right, let's get into the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Ivan, you're up first. What would you like to talk about?
So I'm going to talk about the time I got jumped at work.
Oh, my God.
This was a while ago. I'm fine. This was at my first job, AMC Montebello 10, repping AMC.
Okay. I've thought about going there with my A-list pass.
At Montebello, it's a good theater. It's a great theater.
It's on the east side, right?
Yeah, very east. East.
I used to live a tempting distance from there. Nice. Anyway.
Nice.
Sounds awful. You got jumped. Go ahead.
Well, at the time, it wasn't as nice of a theater. Well, like, it's... Well, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway... Well, like, it was like an old theater. It was like known for being like just the oldest style of theater. It still had the loge seating. So not like the stadium seating, you know, where it like kind of goes down. It still had that like slope, like a lot of older movie theaters had. I was a projectionist. Looking back, probably like the coolest job I ever had.
I thought you were going to say the coolest projectionist.
You know what? Based off the story, I think I am the coolest projectionist.
We'll see about that.
May I ask you a quick question about that?
Oh, yeah.
Before you get into it. That's a pretty good paying job, isn't it?
No. No. At the time, they just moved minimum wage up to like maybe like $7. Mm-hmm. And I was getting paid $7.
Okay.
And I remember they promoted me at one point to lead projectionist, and I was like so excited, and it was like a 15-cent raise. And I talked to my friend who just got hired at Borders, and I asked her like, "Oh, how much do you make, if you don't mind me asking?" And she's like, $8.50. Like, oh shit.
I asked that because I had a friend in high school whose dad was a projectionist, and like they were pretty rich.
Right. Sounds like a cover.
Does sound like a cover.
Yeah, like they moved into like a nice neighborhood. Like I went to their house, there's like movie posters everywhere. I was like, oh, damn, I might be a projectionist.
Movie posters aren't hard to come by. I'm there to cover.
Yeah, I guess.
But anyway, this is like every now and then they'd make me come down from the projection booth, and I had to like clean the movie theaters and stuff. I noticed I was like 16 at the time, and I noticed there's some other people like around my age. They were like, it was a movie theater that was pretty easy to sneak in. And I caught these dudes sneaking in. And usually I didn't care, but I just felt like being an asshole that day, I guess. And I kicked him out of the theater and said like, "Hey, you can't sneak into movies." And
hey. Tried to teach them as well.
Yeah, I waggled my finger and said, "No, no, no. We're the same age, but I'm of a higher moral standard." But anyway, they like I kicked them out, and then I saw them like run behind the theater again, and they flipped me off and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, whatever." So later on, I had to like take out the trash. They are waiting for me while I was to take out the trash. I see one of them in front of me and I turn around, the other one like socks me in the face.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so AMC Montebello Town is like kind of on a hill, and they all start like fighting me, and I'm fighting back, and we end up rolling down this hill at the bottom. And it kind of evens the playing field because I get up and we all just roll down a hill.
That sounds like the opposite of a level playing field.
A literal hill.
Well, yeah, we all roll down. I get up and I take off my belt in for my uniform, and I wrap it around my fist, and it's three of them against me. We're fighting, we're walking and fighting, we're just like basically just throwing arms and stuff like that. And I caught one of them. He was wearing like, he had a piercing, and I caught him right in the face. I remember seeing him go down. I was like, I was feeling that victory.
Smiled?
I did smile because it felt like I was winning. I was like, I am winning this fight. I'm fighting three guys and I'm winning right now.
A good fight.
Yeah. And but I see one of them come. He has a rock in his hand. He comes and he like hits me over the head.
What?
And I don't go down though. I just get a little woozy. The sound goes away, but I'm still up. And I'm still
the sound swimming. Goes away. Do you mean you can't hear?
I can't hear. The sound goes away. I can't hear.
Yeah. There's a weird way of saying that. I'm wondering if that bonk if you feel any effects. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, the sound goes away. And then I'm still fighting, but then they run away. And I'm walking and I'm like, I just won this fight. They run away. I touch my face. It's covered in blood. The rock that hit my head, it kind of opened me up. I had to get about like four staples in my head.
Oh my God.
I walk back up to work and I try to play it off like it's cool with blood all over my face.
You're like, you should see the other guy.
I was a little bit like, you should see the other guy. There was a guy with a lip. I hit him with my fist belt. And then like they people at work, they're like, oh shit, this is kind of crazy. They call an ambulance. My mom comes there just in time so they don't take me in the ambulance. She was very mad at me for almost being taken by an ambulance because
of the money, right?
Yeah, because the money. It's because of the money. Looking back now, it's funny to me that I was convinced that I won that fight based on the fact that they ran away, but they probably ran away because they're like, oh, we seriously hurt this person. We might get into real trouble. But I felt pretty victorious.
Oh my God.
I have dreams to this day of fights, and they're my favorite dreams.
No, that's not good.
It's true. It feels good.
Did I miss it? What movie were they trying to sneak into? Do you know?
Oh shoot! What movie was it?
This aunt is gonna make us feel old.
I was like, maybe Cinderella Man or something. I just associate Cinderella Man maybe around this time. This is like,
I wonder why.
I don't know. I also saw that movie in. At that theater. And
is that a Russell Crowe joint?
Yeah,
it's a boxing movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I didn't think about that. good times.
That's a funny connection if that's true.
It's hilarious.
Everyone was just revved up on the boxing movie.
Yeah.
Have you Have you fought before? Not to get.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I've been in a few scraps.
A few scraps.
Yeah.
I somehow have always avoided it. I've had people want to whoop my ass before, but I've always gotten away. Was running an option?
No. At the time, I was in like I was in a crew, which is like a low ranking gang, not like a real gang, but that was like a part of my life.
Like a junior gang?
Yeah, junior gang.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
All right, I take it back. I'm so sorry.
No. It was silly. I was like, my, you know this about me. I had a greaser phase where I liked a lot of 1950s music. And that's what we did. We listened to 50s music and dressed like we were in the 50s. And there's a lot of people that also dressed the same way.
How? Those should be your best friends. The other dorks. Right,
there's not a lot of...
We were not dorks. This is cool. This is very cool. Yeah. We had jackets with our names on the back.
Uh-huh. So like a UCB sweatshirt almost?
No. This was embroidered. It said Original Sinners. That was... OS, baby.
So wait, how did you even have rivals?
Colors, and then just like knowing this, like, oh, that fool's in Lucky Rollers. That's it. That fool's in like Los Gallos. Just knowing names, and then like with like bandanas, like we wore red, or we had red bandanas. Other Lucky Rollers had white. Los Gallos, I think, was blue. This is silly.
I'm fascinated though. So you, how old?
I was like 16, and it ranged from like 14 to like the oldest. I think he was like 22.
Yeah.
Was anyone like too old for it? And you're like, dude, you gotta get out of here. get out of here.
At a certain point, if you reached a certain age, like you either joined like a real gang or you joined the military.
Okay, dumb question. And no.
or you just like got out of being into like greaser stuff, got out of being in the 50s. You started listening to regular music, like regular people, like hip hop.
That is such a strange aspect to that.
Yeah.
It's like a skater phase or something, but.
Yeah.
Why the 50s music?
I don't know. It spoke to me at the time.
Like, what are we talking? Like Phil Spector or like.
Like, you know, Johnny Burnett. or Gene Vincent, he did Bebopalula.
Oh my god.
Bebopalula. Bebopalula, it's a great song. Stray Cats were like an 80s revival that some people liked, but that was a little
Bebopalula?
It's a great song. Check it out. Everybody listen to Bebopalula by Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps.
And Victor Ivan in his jacket, head injury.
I found one by the Los Crazy Boys. You think that has anything to do with the scene?
That sounds familiar. that sounds like it would be a thing. I remember, you know what? Around this time, Walk the Line came out. The Johnny Cash movie.
Okay.
And I remember like we were all watching Walk the Line in the movie and we were like, and like one of my friends was like, hey man, we got to go. We got to go to a fight. And we walked out of the movie to go to a fight because of something.
Wow. Yeah. All the fights are tied to movies.
Yeah. That's so funny. It's like the violence.
Did you guys like that? Or watch that Stephen Dorff movie where they were like, it like took place in the 50s and they were just like a crew of guys who got into fights.
Who's Stephen Dorff again?
He's in True Detective, right?
Yeah, he's also the villain in the first Blade movie.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I saw him in Larchmont Village. He's a little guy. Yeah,
he's a little guy. He's in a movie.
Fucking Deuces Wild.
That's it. Deuces Wild.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we watched Deuces Wild. Johnny Knoxville's in that, too.
That's incredible.
How did it start? How did that start?
How did Deuces Wild start?
No, no. This whole scene where like you're like this 50s, 50s like greaser scene in the 2000s.
I don't know.
Get Out started or caught on or became like a gateway to gangs.
I don't know. I really don't know.
You feel like, was this like local to where you were specifically?
Yeah, I think it was pretty big in the San Gabriel Valley. SGV. La Puente repping all day. But I think it had to do like, you know, there's like, cause I was into punk and stuff. And I think you get into punk and then and at some point there's like some fools get into rockabilly and like,
I like rockabilly too. I just never would like, I have some rockabilly tendencies. I just never considered it a scene. It was always like it was always like, I'll go to a JD McPherson concert. Do you know who that is?
No, who that?
It's the rockabilly guy.
All right. Okay.
Actually, this is a bad way to tell you, but I'm one of the, what was that? I can't remember one of your other
Lucky
games.
Roller. You were in Los Gallos?
I was in Los Gallos.
Fucking, I knew it, Josh.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You know, I'm so happy you agreed to come out tonight. I don't often open up like this and, you know, talk about my personal life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you asked me what I do and I tell you I'm a projectionist.
Okay.
Don't ask me anything else. I can't tell you, but... That's as much as I'll say.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a secretive business.
It's totally normal. I got movie posters up in my house if you want to check it out. sorry, I don't mean to be forward. I just mean to say that I'm a totally normal dude. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, I got to go away for a while. And it's to go and play movies at the theater.
We see a woman at the table a little a few feet away from them, just like kind of notice and like, like cross her legs the other way.
Hey, you're attracting. The way you're talking appears to be turning on the women around
me. That's right. I have an extremely virile, but also viral do some. Now cured STD.
Okay.
The woman at the table gets her purse and leaves.
Okay.
Basically, I just want you to know that you're totally safe with me. And
I wouldn't think that I wouldn't be. You know, we don't have to have this. I mean, I feel bad you ordered this expensive bottle of wine and I asked the waiter to bring over some caviar. I didn't realize you were just a projectionist.
Jenny, when you're with me, you're not going to have to worry about that stuff anymore. Okay. These guys know me, actually. Me and my small group of friends who are all also projectionists. We frequent this establishment. They know us well and they would never say no to us. They know not to.
We see
another glass.
We see the table of guys in the corner. They all give a nice, nice little cheers to them.
Yeah. Salud.
Salud.
Two more women get sat in that now abandoned table.
Jesus Christ! I feel like I'm already competing for your attention. They just keep seating scantily clad women. Daddy cornered us.
All I care about is you. It's just me and you. And you know what? I know we haven't been seeing each other that long, but I feel like with you, I could quit the game for good. Stop playing movies and, you know, I don't know, maybe get a little place out in the country. Just us.
That's so sweet. Cheers. Another glass of wine. That's so sweet. But I wouldn't want you to do that. I mean, we got this table because they let us in through the back alley and down through the kitchen. And then they pulled up an extra table and put a tablecloth on it. It feels like you've built a real sort of network here. And I don't want to take you away from that. And I'm sure you have a passion for your movies.
I love them. Yeah, they used to be all I thought about, all I cared about. I had no connections. Used to be able to leave town. I mean, go to a different theater at the drop of a hat. But not anymore. Ever since I met you, I'm ready to, you know, settle down. Make
wow.
Is that right? Is that a phrase?
Make root?
Make roots.
Yes.
Hey, sprout them into the soil.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I divide in my hand to kiss.
Neil. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt your beautiful day, but we got an issue at the theater. We got a couple of scratch reels, if you know what I mean. Got to be taken care of.
Well, probably tomorrow, right? It can't be urgent tonight.
No.
Darling, don't talk when he's talking.
Yeah. It's a midnight showing.
All right. Okay. Got it. Jenny, I know I said all that stuff right now about making roots and a house in the countryside. I have to leave immediately right now. I gotta go.
For the movie reel? Just play a different movie at midnight, or somebody else has got to be able to do that.
I thought I could get out of the game, but they keep pulling me back in.
Who does?
The AMC. What the hell do you think? What are we even talking about here? Obviously the AMC.
Hey, boys. Hey, boys.
I give him my hand to kiss the ring. Okay. All right. We talked about that. Less. Don't open mouth it, man. Keep your mouth closed when you do that.
It's only one way I know how to kiss, boys. I'm sorry. It's a kiss how I kiss.
All right. I will not prod further with that. What do you have to say?
Well, it hurts my feelings, boys, but I'll learn to live with it.
He opens a little box. There's milk duds and dots in there.
I got the shipment. I got
not
the
here. Milk.
Well, I got it from Mexico.
I grab his collar. Carl! What do you think? How many times I gotta tell you, you idiot, not in front of the lady, okay?
He wets his pants. Oh.
How old is this guy?
My God,
I can't pin his age down at all.
Let's just say he's older than you think. And he has no control over these bodily fluids. I mean, the spit on my head, the pee in his pants.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt the day. I'm sorry. As the server here, I really gotta say, this is really distracting with all the noise and the bodily fluids. Oh. From this old or young gentleman.
Yeah, right?
All the PJ from the women around.
PJ? I'm not in my PJs. I don't get into my PJs till 9 o'clock.
Again, I assure you all, he's an adult, a grown man.
And when I say PJ, everybody know what I mean when I say PJ?
No, nope, I don't think any one of us did, and I'd love if you explained.
You're making me guess, and I'm uncomfortable with it.
Oh, I know, pussy juice.
Right on the money, kid, or sir.
Definitely, sir. We've all agreed, and we all could attest that this is a grown man before us.
All right. Anyway, sorry. Let me kiss your ring.
Yeah, thank you. And please don't say PJ in front of Jenny. Jesus Christ, man. Oh,
Come on, they're getting worse. These kisses are getting out of hand. My God. I'm trying to suck the ring off my finger.
So close.
We got to like 35 years in the future where Michael and Jenny are at their son's wedding. Michael, for once, can you not talk about the business? Our son is getting married today, and I just don't want to hear about projectionists or milk duds. I just want to have a nice wedding.
Jenny, baby, of course. I promised. You got a little piece of hair in your face. I brush it back. Yeah, you can't stay mad at me.
I can't.
I'm not gonna bring up the business, Jenny. I promise. It's all about family. I won't bring up a single movie.
Okay, because I'll be honest. When we started dating, I thought projectionist was a metaphor or a lie about you working in the mob. But you're just ingrained in the movie industry.
Absolutely. It's just the industry. That was such a funny moment when that came out. And you finally admitted that all along you thought I was in the mob. Remember that? That was hilarious.
I remember that. I thought you were in the mob, and it turned out you just treat the movie industry that way. And not even the movie industry, a single movie theater where you show movies.
And one single job, being a projectionist.
We cut to the after the wedding, the dad of the... The bride is giving a toast. Well, I gotta say, I didn't know what to think of when Ashley started dating Martin. Seemed like an odd couple. Their family's in the projection business. You know, I have to admit, I'm a streamer myself. I've streamed ever since HBO made the switch. So that's what, 20, 30 years by now. But you know, I like that they're old fashioned and, well,
I get up and I just shoot him.
Okay. You're going to kick me and my buddy out of Marriage Story? We're going to make our own. We're going to...
What?
That's right.
What'd you say, Dale?
You and me. They won't let us see Marriage Story. We're going to get the same experience. Come on.
Huh? Go home and watch it on Netflix?
No. We're going to make our own Marriage Story.
I don't know what Claudia is going to think of that.
Well, I can tell you, she's not going to be happy about it, but that's assuming that's what happens in the movie, okay? So you go home and you slowly let your marriage dissolve until you hate each other, okay?
Wait, I'm just doing it?
Yeah, and I'm going to watch it.
We come back to the theater for just a second. I totally thought those guys were going to beat you up after you made them leave for sneaking into Marriage Story, but it sounds like they're going to go make Marriage Story.
Yeah, I don't. I was a little worried for a second, but it sounds like I just inspired like a young artist. And
yeah, that's maybe. The Grove for you.
Yeah.
Come back to this
Marriage Story. Hey, I'm having a good time with my marriage, you know.
That's how they all start.
This was mostly about just hanging out at the Grove with you, pal. I didn't even want to see Marriage Story. I watched it on Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Well, good. Then you know how it goes, okay?
It doesn't
it's
go
It's supposed
well.
To be a moving art piece that transforms your understanding of a relationship, and I want that. So let's go, buddy.
Okay, I guess step one would be I'd have to be a MacArthur Genius Grant winning playwright.
Yeah. And you got to cast your wife in your play.
Okay. That's a far cry from Yeah, sorry. That's just a far cry from remote control car salesman, but I'll do my best.
We cut to the playhouse where Josh has submitted his first.
I'm wearing an ascot. I've gotten really into it.
We hadn't seen your name before, but we are always so excited to look at new talents. Structurally, this was very surprising. Initially I felt maybe you wrote it really, really fast. It is kind of a mini play. I don't know.
It's fast, bad. I'm in the remote. I was in the remote control car business.
Right. Okay. So I can see how fast might be good in the remote control car business, but fast action is sort of the death of theater. That's what we say here, the Captain Playhouse. Fast is the death of theater. So, I guess the reason we're looking at your play is because we seem to have like a shortage of submissions. But if you want to sort of fill out the world of this right now, you seem to sort of have written it like the instructions on the back of a
car.
I'm standing behind him eating popcorn. Oh, this is good.
Looks like we got our first fan. Oh, don't mind.
Is that not your writing partner?
Oh, he's not involved in the creative process. He's what we're doing is.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I don't think I can let you know that actually.
Okay.
I need to do a play. It's about a remote control car businessman. My wife will be gender bending and playing the role of Carl.
That's me.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hello.
She worked at Joann Fabrics before and has no interest. She's actually never seen a movie.
Okay, I'm much to my chagrin.
Never seen a movie, never read a play.
So she's perfect. But she will be acting in this. I've given her the script, which is, again, as you mentioned, written on the back of instructions of a remote control car.
Slow getting started.
Okay, shut. Don't talk at. But we would love to get a run here because we need this to be a success just for the backstory of the larger project, which I'm doing.
Okay. Again, not a lot of projects get pitched to us as sort of a non-important part of a bigger project. Some people, write plays just for the play, for the experience of the theater goers. In fact, I'd say all playwrights write that way, but you know what? As I said before, we are severely lagging in submissions.
Hell yeah. Is the Geffen, is this a good playhouse, the Geffen?
It is the one I know. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Works for me.
UCLA.
We need to do a scene where I'm like directing.
You're telling me? Okay, listen, let me, once more. I'm sort of on the board of this theater. It seems I need to really break down for you every step of this production. No?
No. Okay. I'm going to be in here working. What you do with my work is up to you. I would love some good reviews. I don't know if you know how to do that.
Okay, a very hands-off director.
We cut to opening night. This woman stands on stage. Remote control cars zoom in and out around her.
By a migraine.
We see Noah Baumbach in the audience. In
we see Neil LaBute just wringing his freaking hands like, oh, I submitted plenty of things.
We see someone walk up to Neil LaBute like, my dude, you were canceled a long time ago. You gotta get out of here. They escort him out of the theater.
Oh, the shape of things.
We pan to David Mamet instead. He's ringing out. It's like, man, I should have thought of this.
The play goes great. There's a standing O. People are throwing flowers at this avant-garde performance by this woman who doesn't know what acting is. It gets written up in the LA Times.
We see Jake confronts Josh. Josh has gotten too absorbed in this and forgotten the whole marriage story component.
Hey, what the hell is going on?
Not now, okay? I don't have time for my friends anymore. I got career stuff. I got my whole relationship with my wife and her family is weird. Her mom is... I like her mom. Okay.
You're not advancing the plot.
I am. You don't know how the story goes. I just put on a good play. That was just the backstory.
This is unbelievable. You got to move it along. I went out to eat with my friends and they were all talking about Marriage Story and I look like an asshole because I was like, I don't know. It seemed like they spent a lot of time with the guy like jerking off in his apartment instead of writing.
Hey, you were watching that? I wasn't on the clock then. I got to have some time off.
Well, I invested 18 hours in that. I thought it was part of the fucking plot. And you and your wife have never been getting along better. And I was like, what about that whole thing where all those different playwrights were in the audience and like too much time was spent on
I can't
them, like,
control that.
Out their hats?
I didn't know who that was. I had no part in determining who was canceled or not and escorting the people out. Or
you're supposed to punch a wall and cut your wrist in the kitchen or whatever.
That's way later. I still have to have an affair. I have to have a whole thing with Ray Liotta's like high-priced lawyers. Laura Dern has to. I need someone to play the Laura Dern part.
Also, I think. Also, honey, I think we're supposed to have a child. I did see one movie over the span of time.
What?
I think in Marriage.
Oh, whoa! You said
what?
You lied to me. Punches a hole in the wall.
They take out popcorn. All right.
Hey, Tammy. Look across. You see across the playground?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at, there's other kids dressed like us.
Oh.
These are the kids dressed like us.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, they're dressed like one's dressed like a little knight. That one's dressed in a little wizard suit. I think they're LARPers.
Oh, looks like we got some other LARPers over here.
Let's kick their asses, right?
Oh, yeah. Like
there's not enough room for... Sorry, go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
No. There ain't, like you're saying, there ain't enough room in this park for more than us LARPers.
Oh, greetings, fellow LARPers.
Of course they have a horn. Of course they have a horn.
Of course. And that makes no sense. One is a knight and one is a wizard. Why would they play their own horns? They would have footmen to do that.
They would have footmen. They don't. Yeah. Sorry. Whatever
good
this
day,
is.
Sir.
Good day.
Okay. Good day.
Good day. A very good day to you, sir.
Whoa.
What? What? We must say that we're not interested in making your acquaintance, for you are not in our crew.
Yes, you're not in our crew, and therefore we shall not abide by you, sir.
Fair enough. Fair, sirs. I thought this was an inclusive sport.
Yes.
Alas, we shall go elsewhere for our thrills.
That's right. We'll be taking our thrills elsewhere. We've got a chariot awaiting.
But before I go, I do have to ask, are you doing a Sean Connery voice?
Who's Sean Connery?
Ooh.
Are you both doing a Sean Connery voice?
It's Scottish. We're Scottish LARPers.
We're from the Highlands.
Okay, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable because, as I said before, this is an inclusive space. Mm-hmm. We overheard you guys sort of threatening us from afar, mm-hmm. saying you were going to fight us, so we thought we'd come over here in the spirit of LARPing in peace, extend a rose of friendship, and sort of see if we could befriend you. You seem to change identities completely, moving from what you were into this Sean Connery voice. I'm trying to understand who you are.
You were spying on us, were you?
You are spying on us. And if we're talking about the way that we're speaking, I must say, are you doing a Mrs. Doubtfire? Hello!
That's so hurtful. No, this is my voice.
The Doubtfires. Well, we don't like the Doubtfires around here. The Connerys don't mix with the Doubtfires.
Is this part of the role play?
Is this your specific brand of LARPing? If you could just answer that, I think I'd feel safe again.
We see on the edge of the park, all four of these kids, their parents are all standing together. I think they're finally getting along. It makes sense.
I hope so.
Such a relief.
They have not.
Such a relief.
Yes, our
boy. My boy Jacob didn't get into Mrs. Doubtfire, so he's been Doubtfiring his LARPing.
What? What do you mean he didn't get into Mrs. Doubtfire?
He wasn't able to.
Huh?
He wasn't able to see Mrs. Doubtfire, so he's been LARPing. That's the identity for his. His LARPing is a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, it can be really traumatic when kids are turned away from movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been told that by my therapist.
Mm-hmm. Ours tried to see The Rock.
Yeah, mine just saw that video of him saying, "You're the man now, dog."
Oh, that's from a movie.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell it's from. I think he just went down a YouTube hole and that just came up. I don't know what that kid watches. I really should get on him about that.
Well, I'm glad that they're finally
relieved. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I would like to make a distinction that I don't think our Connery kids are quite like the Doubtfire kids.
Right.
Even though we all have children that are LARPers.
Step outside. I don't wanna... Let's go.
What?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I wrap a belt around my fist.
Okay. It's all right. Time. We're doing belt fists. All right. That's what
I
thought.
Let's fucking go. I'll take every last one of you.
Careful. Careful now, everybody. We're near this hill.
We wouldn't want to go rolling down this hill.
We don't want to go.
We all collectively are going like, whoa,
just like feet and hands and a pile of dust like in the movies.
We emerge, switch clothes.
Oh my. Am I a Doubtfire? I am a Doubtfire.
And I must be a Sean Connery.
It was a run by fruiting.
Where the hell is Bushy Galore?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's get back into the meat part of the podcast, the part where a guest shares a true meaty story from their lives. Mai, you're up first. What would you like to talk about? You're up second, actually. You're up now.
Like, what?
Yeah, I'm on autopilot a lot. I apologize.
Holiday episode. I will tell a story from fifth grade, throwing it back.
Okay.
Throwing it back to a time where we learned about the colonial era. I don't know if like curriculums across the state, I know that they're different depending on the state. I feel like I grew up in LA and we focused a lot more on like, I think like missions and gold mining and stuff. And I imagine that like kids in other states focus on other things.
Oregon Trail over here.
Oh yeah. Okay. We got a little Donner, freakiness. Okay. Sorry. That's really insensitive. They suffer.
You Donner freak.
Okay. But this is in fifth grade, the colonial unit was like pretty immersive. I remember we did, we had a period where we had to like take on colonial like names or sort of like Puritan names, and I remember we were given examples like prudence or charity, like nouns, and I got very confused by this and I named myself Hopeful, and I remember like for a while we did like cross stitching and we like learned songs, and when we raised our hands in class, we had to like cover our armpit because it was like unseemly at the time.
What?
Yeah, this is a detail. I remember. Yeah, they were like, well, in colonial times, you were in an old schoolhouse. You couldn't just like raise your hand to answer a question. You had to cover your armpit because armpits were gross. Still are, in my opinion.
That might have been like a your teacher thing.
Okay, I won't stand for that kind of talk. I'm pretty sure it was.
Did you love this teacher?
No, I'm certain that all of this was insane and made up and weird, and it all culminated in this like overnight field trip that was called. It was only known as like the Pilgrim Ship, and it was kind of ominous. And people had you would hear about it like in the years leading up to it, like. Ooh, just wait till you have to go to that pilgrim ship. It's rough. And it was like really scary, honestly. this was just like a 24-hour experience. And we got like driven out to a ship. And again, I grew up in LA. So now I'm like, this must have been like Marina Del Rey or something. But at the time it felt like we were in the middle of nowhere, this like docked old ship. And once aboard the ship, it was like an immersive pilgrim ship. So you had a guy, a captain and a first mate, and they were both in character the whole time. And that meant, and we had been warned that the captain was going to be really harsh, because that was like the point of this. Like to have a scary, mean captain yell at us so that we could better understand the experience of those who came on the Mayflower. Of course, none of us had any connection to those people because none of our ancestors did that. We were all either from like the Middle East or like Eastern Europe. So it was like a weird amount of reverence for like American history that we needn't have possessed. But we get to the ship and we're split up into teams, different teams that have different chores around the ship. And so you have like a kitchen team and you have, I don't know the other teams, but I know that my team was dealt with like sails. Okay. It was like really labor intensive. And the first thing that they told us when we got on the ship and we were broken up into the teams was, by the way, every team has a little first mate. So you have like the captain and the first mate, and then like a student first mate who's the leader of the team. And so, and of course, I was chosen to be first mate of this little like sail team. And as soon as I was told that, the power. Oh, it corrupted me immediately. I was sick with it. Like, I was like, I knew I was better than everyone. Of course, I'm the fucking first mate. I was fucking chosen. Sorry to curse. I felt like very, very special and better than other people. And I remember like convening with the other first mates and being like, man, rough being a team leader. I remember that the actual like first mate or the young actor playing him had like a ponytail, and I found that extremely alluring as a fifth grader, and like I was in love with him immediately, and I did think that like I could leverage my first mate position to like chat with him about what it is to be a first mate. So we had like all these tasks on the ship. We're getting yelled at by the captain. It was genuinely very unpleasant. And I remember my friend was on the kitchen team, and I was so jealous because that was like, if you were in the kitchen, you had it made, because all you did was, well, you were like dealing with food. And she specifically was like, dude, I ate so many chocolate chips. Like, there are so many chocolate chips in that kitchen, and I cannot stop eating them. And it was like very sad because I and we were all like really hungry.
What was yours again? What was your? You know, you said it, but
mine was like
the
sales. Like, we were doing a lot of like pulling and moving stuff. I remember like the captain was extremely inappropriate, I think, because like at one point he yelled at the kitchen crew to make him coffee. And I have a very distinct memory of him saying, I like it blonde, just like I like my women.
Oh, lame.
Which is like,
that's and again, awful and a lame coffee order.
Yeah, he likes a milky coffee.
That is so lame.
And then it was a 24-hour trip, and basically like we didn't even get to sleep because we would sleep for a few hours and then we had to do like night watch or whatever. And in one of those occasions you were supposed to be like not just like not fuck around, not be a 10-year-old basically. And I remember there was a moment where the captain was speaking to us, and it was a very serious, quiet moment. And a kid in my grade farted so loud, and it was like the funniest thing that could have happened in that moment. And of course we all started laughing, and so we then like had to be punished or whatever. And the punishment was the kitchen crew brought out like coarsely chopped onion, and we had to eat this raw onion.
That is
what? And I remember the kitchen staff didn't have to do it, so they just like were chilling the whole time, hanging out in the kitchen, didn't have to eat the onion, didn't get chastised for this like fart moment. And
oh, the fart moment.
Later I think like the worst part of all of it was that at night we had like, we gathered below decks in this like tiny cabin, and we were surprised by the teachers who were there as chaperones. They were like, oh, we asked your parents to write you letters and like to not tell you anything so that you like have the surprise letter. And they had to like write you the letter in the style of the times. So
do your parents had homework too?
Oh,
yes. My parents are like, you're not going to that.
So yeah. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh no. Like my parents, their English wasn't great. I was like, oh dear God, like what is in this letter? And at that time I noticed also like at the same time that they're handing out the letters, the captain starts like grabbing some at random and reading them out loud to like embarrass people. And he's doing like a high-pitched lady voice being like, dear Ethan, or like, oh, very, very embarrassing. And I was like, okay, there is no world where my immigrant mother has not written like the most embarrassing thing in this letter. He is definitely going to grab my letter, and he won't even have to make anything up because she would have written something weird. And then, of course, when I opened it, she did write something weird. And it was that everyone else had letters being like, the family misses you. Life on the farm is much the same since you left. Or like, us blacksmiths have had, you know, like, we also, it was a lot of just like family stuff. And of course, my mom, for some reason, chose to play up like a romantic storyline for me. And she was like, dear Mai, we miss you. And so does your boyfriend. And I guess to her, the most American name, male name she could think of, or that I don't understand this logic, but the most American male name she could come up with was Randy. So she was like, Randy cannot wait to have you in his arms. That is a direct quote. I will never forget it because it's seared into my brain because I was so disgusted when I read it. And yeah, I had a crush on the first mate, but I didn't want anyone to have me in their arms. That's so gross. Yeah, so it was like this, and it just didn't end there. It was like more details about my relationship with Randy. I managed to like get out of that without the captain reading my letter out loud, so I do feel lucky. But I have since confronted my mom and been like, why would you ever in a letter to a 10-year-old talk about their boyfriend? And she was like, well, that sounds right to me. after that, we had the like night watch, and then we were rescued and we got off the ship with minimal trauma.
Oh my God.
That's big of you to confront your mom about the about the Randy letter.
Well, as I said earlier, I will confront my parents about everything.
That was the first time. That was the first time.
Yeah, it was really gross. I didn't get why. Yeah. Why did I have this boyfriend?
Can I ask questions? Like,
yeah.
All right. Why was the captain? Was he employed by the school?
I think this was like, again, I have no idea, but I think this is probably like an immersive experience that the school goes to and like employs or whatever. But like, it seems like there's a lot of like liability issues here because, just these like old actors and bunch of kids. It's weird. Yeah.
It also doesn't sound very period accurate to Pilgrim Times. No. The amount of chocolate chips.
Did you stay overnight?
We stayed one night, but we like barely slept on the boat, and the bunks were so claustrophobic. I remember they were like right up against the ceiling, and I got so hot at night that I had to unzip my zip-on leg pants so that, you know, pants that you could make shorts. But then when we had to wake up to go patrol, I couldn't like zip them up in time, and it was really stressful.
So this is to mimic like the Mayflower or something?
Unclear. It was just called the Pilgrim Ship. Again, doesn't sound historically accurate. I don't think this was the Mayflower experience.
Were you docked up, or did you actually like shove off and go to sea?
We were docked the whole time. never left.
That's a bridge too far. You can't actually.
Yeah. Go. So the captain's not actually captaining at all. His role as captain is just to yell.
Did you get a sense that maybe this was just the guy's boat?
Oh my God. Wow. I hope so. So the other guy, his couldn't friend, like, his much younger friend.
Couldn't have been a big business. Yeah.
Our school definitely did it every year since like the beginning of time. Everyone knew about this trip. So maybe we were the sole like employers of this boat.
And letter is written from Timmy's mom.
Oh, give me it back. It's humiliating.
Okay, all right, all right. So now I'm gonna read the next letter.
Please, oh, stop.
Oh, no.
All right, this is from Mai's mom.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh. I'm not gonna read this one. This one feels a little too personal. Oh,
you read about mine.
Yeah, I read
about... My dad said some embarrassing stuff about being a blacksmith. He's not a blacksmith. He works for the Spectrum, the cable.
Yeah, this is different. I want to embarrass all of you. That's my thing, but this is too much. All right.
That's not how you've been talking the rest of the time.
No, let him move on.
No way. You read my letter and my dad was confused and did the assignment wrong.
Fine.
He wrote a note excusing me from basketball because of my weak knees. And you read that aloud. He did the whole thing wrong.
Yeah.
And aren't we out of time? Isn't letter time actually over, wouldn't you say?
No, and I am I have to get through these letters, and then it's not fair.
But
and then
why? Gonna... Why do you have to get through these letters?
Well, if he won't read the letter, I will.
No, it's the little first mate.
Dear my.
Oh, you're right.
See that.
This is bad.
This
we can't read this.
Better be bad.
Children, I can't believe her. I can't believe her parents would actually write something like this.
Yeah, I know. It's really a lot. I can't do it.
What are you talking about? Read the letter.
I don't know if it's legal to read this to children.
Little first mate, you filled me full of chocolate chips and then pushed me down a rolling hill. There's nothing legal about it.
You're gonna incriminate me for stuffing you with chocolate chips and having a roll?
You love the chocolate chips.
In the 1800s, that's how we said hello. We did.
That's unfair.
All right. We can't read the letter, right?
No.
Give me that letter.
Hey, weak knees. No.
Give me the bag.
It's long.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, you know what? It's not and that bad.
Very descriptive.
I was embarrassed about it, but it's not... Like, well, illegal.
It's
illegal, right?
It's illegal.
It might be illegal.
I went to many years of acting school, and I've ended up in this role. I don't think that I could read this aloud, and I know I'm breaking character right now, not doing the captain's voice.
This is you breaking character. You, as a captain, you sounded like a dude from Orange County.
That's a choice then, ain't it?
It'd be a choice.
Okay, it's not what you did before, but fine.
Yeah, listen, this is exactly what I did
I know
before.
I was humiliated by that letter, but now you guys are really making me feel like a freak. Someone just read the letter. It's fine.
I think we should burn this letter and never speak of it again.
I think so, too. I played the role of Faulty Balls in an erectile dysfunction ad.
Yes.
Doctor...
You got Faulty Balls?
Dr. Faulty Balls.
No, Dr. Boner?
You were Dr. Boner.
He was Dr. Boner with the faulty balls.
You were Dr. Boner and the faulty balls.
Okay,
this is good. I think we should.
Every day of my life, I get into what's he called? What is it, Dr. Boner, or is it Dr. Faulty Balls?
Yeah,
it's over. The commercial's over. I'm not in it anymore.
I think this is good. I think we should all share something that incriminates us as much as this filthy, yeah, filthy.
Letter. Let's all share something really freaky, and I'll read out that letter.
No, this letter cannot be read aloud. I wrote that letter for my dad.
You did that?
I wrote a letter about my weak knees.
Oh.
My dad died in a faulty balls accident.
Oh, that's...
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Had he heard of Dr. Boner, or did he not want to try the pill? I feel like this isn't so much an educational summer camp as it is we're sort of being forced to like spend the night in this homeless man's treehouse.
I mean, that's what being a fifth grader is.
What?
We've all heard about Old Man Jones's treehouse. We've heard about this for years now.
It just feels bad. I don't think this is frontier times. I think this man is experiencing a hard economic patch maybe in his life. And we're sort of
like, you're not tough enough to survive frontier life. And maybe you would have been, I don't know, eaten. Sounds like something a weak person who is not prepared for the cruel realities of frontier. For example, this burning trash can, a clear sign of the frontier.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I'll go along with it. I'm a good sport.
Okay. Next, you're telling me that these magazines on the floor are not something that the donors themselves would have read on the way?
Maybe.
Pick it up. Oh, God.
That's PJ Magazine.
That's PJ. That's all PJ. I heard about that. My older brother told me about that.
They listened. That's what they did in Frontier Times. They looked at PJ Magazine and started garbage can fires. Listen, I might have misspoke earlier. I don't know if he's necessarily experiencing homelessness, but I think that this is kind of a weird guy who lives kind of in a tree.
It's less houselessness and it's more a True Detective shack, really, what we seem to be in.
I was allowed to watch. You were allowed to watch True Detective. I watched all three seasons.
That was fucked.
That was fucked up. Season fucked two, up. You know where season season three, we're back. Season one,
fucked.
Golden King, fucked up Golden King stuff. Golden King.
Fucked up Golden King stuff, man.
Anyway, well, we have to spend a night here. The guy said he was just going to go out and try to stab a raccoon. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I got, I might have also misspoke. I got a little too hyped on the older kid's description of this trip. And maybe I'm accepting a lot of things that are a little odd.
It does feel a little odd. It does feel
a little fucked up.
Well, we better count these beans.
Okay, yeah, that's right. He said if we don't, something really bad's going to happen.
One, two, three.
By the way, where's the rest of our class?
Five, six. I don't know. I thought we all were going on the same field trip. I haven't seen them.
We got to a teacher outside of Legoland. 38, 39. 38, 39.
we see two adults get in the back of the line. It's like a lollipop.
41. Got him.
Yes, we're in.
We're in.
No one will notice.
And we get those discounted prices. RIP to all those who have fallen.
Hey, taking advantage of our sale today. It's only $12.14. Never forget.
Never forget.
Oh, you already did a sale? That was yesterday.
Hey,
you mean
got it? gotta take advantage.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm a kid who likes this kind of thing. Come on, let's go to the rides. We cut back to the other two people. Yeah. Yeah, that is weird because we were supposed to, I thought we were supposed to get on a bus, but instead we were instead we were shoved into a wheelbarrow. And
we were sort of corralled, yeah, and went on a bit of a rickety ride. And also, I think we did like a lot of spins in that thing, disorient us, because I'm not sure which direction we ended up going.
Yeah, me neither. Plus, I swear we were supposed to be at Legoland, but now it's a Frontier.
Yeah, okay. Theme. Yeah, I mean, listen, where did we get that Frontier thing?
Well, that's what this guy said. He said that it, that's what this guy said.
Oh,
said,
hello again.
There he is.
Me. I've returned.
48 I've returned. Beans.
Yes. Very good. Very good. You've counted all the beans. Yes. Yeah, hey. The bean counter now, dog.
Hey.
Hey, Sean, where's the rest of our class?
They're out exploring the deep frontier that God has provided us.
We see me behind Sean eating popcorn. Psst, John.
Hey, Mr. Connor.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
John.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you sure this is how Mrs. Doubtfire goes?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I just don't want to be out of the loop at the next movie club.
He doesn't know Pierce Brosnan is in Mrs. Doubtfire, not me, Sean Connery.
Honestly, this isn't so dissimilar from Mrs. Doubtfire now that I think about it. This man has been dressed as a old lady and babysitting the two of us. Keeps calling us siblings and telling us he's going to win our mom back.
we see my chest is on fire.
Oh, God.
It's only my first 2 weeks as a woman and I'm already having hot flashes.
I want to go home. All right, that'll do it for this episode of The Meat Improv. Thank you, Mai and Ivan, for coming on. That was a blast.
Yeah, that was really, really
thank
fun.
You. Thank you. Thanks.
No, Dr. Boner strikes again.
That was so good.
It's 2021. I'm sure...
Whoa, we all are dead.
We're all just yeah. Mai's dead, so we'll put your funeral notes in the show notes.
I started a GoFundMe for Mai's funeral.
let's plug stuff for real. So Mai, what do you got? Anything you'd like to tell our listeners about?
We improv. You can see me on We Improv on Monday nights. PB&J is the team. That was a crazy way to do that. I said that sentence in the wrong order, but you get what I mean.
We Improv Monday nights, PB&J.
Thank you.
Ivan?
We as well. Little team coup d'etat.
Oh yeah, also coup d'etat for me as well.
Mai is on coup d'etat. You can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Milhouse Crying, or check me out on Letterboxd, dude.
Oh, yeah. I love Letterboxd. Yeah. Are you Milhouse Crying on there?
I think so. I don't know. Am I Milhouse Crying?
I think you might be. I might be. Just Mai. So find me on Letterboxd at Mai.
Wow. Yeah. You must have gotten early.
Great on Letterboxd.
I like Letterboxd. It's a new obsession for me.
Yeah, me too.
Jake?
Check out We Improv. at weimprov.org or twitch.tv/weimprov. And yeah, everybody go to Letterboxd. Why not?
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm at Josh Simpson on Instagram and Twitter. I put up videos on a channel called Lazy Susan. Oh, I burped. I put up videos on a channel called Lazy Susan, and I'm on Letterboxd as Josh Simpson as well.
Nice.
So come if you like a little sincerity and then just a dash of snark in every review.
Ooh.
Just one joke. How could I resist?
That's sick.
The Meet Improv is on all the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, although... Is anyone on Facebook anymore? I'm not, but there it is.
My aunt is.
My aunt is. Ooh.
I'm surprised they're not on Parler. Yeah, the Meet Improv is on Parler. do you know what that is? No, that's bad news. We're not on Parler. But we are on Patreon, where we have a bonus episode called The Potatoes, where we talk shop, improv, and comedy stuff, Jake and I. And then we have a Discord channel there, too. Or if you just like us and you want to be like, hey, I'll give these guys $5 a month for doing the show for free. Check it out and chip in. Mm-hmm. That's it. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time on The Meat.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Improv.